The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's a Tuesday. It's the 10th of July, 2018. It was very nice in parts of Tucson. I'm sure lots of people rejoicing to get some rain finally. In about a half an hour, the airport got a bit over an inch of rain, making it the rainiest day on record, I believe, at the Tucson airport. We did not get any up in the central foothills, but today's another day. Let's welcome right now to the program Dr. David Garcia, ASU education professor, candidate, Democratic candidate for governor, who is involved in a three-way primary to see who will face off against Governor Doug Ducey. Dr. Garcia, how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. We got some rain up in my neck of the woods in central Phoenix. In fact, my neighbor's tree landed on our house last night.
So
quite a storm came through.
Yeah, it's usually those first ones of the season have seem to be that all have that extra punch or something.
It certainly had extra punch, but everything's okay. Everybody's okay, at least on our end.
Summarize how the campaign is going right now for you.
Yeah, the campaign is going amazingly well. We have got so much momentum happening. We continue to hear five polls in a row tell us the same thing. We're anywhere from 20 to 30 points up in the primary. We are not taking that lightly, which is why we've got a team out there of almost 5,000 people who are walking and talking and knocking on behalf of this campaign. I think the other exciting thing is another poll has us in, just came out yesterday, has us 1 point ahead of Doug Ducey in the general. And what we need ultimately is the candidate that can best beat Ducey. We believe that is certainly us. And it's because our message has been strong. We are a campaign committed, grounded in the local community, and campaigns like that are winning across the country. It is a moment for folks who want to stand firm, for candidates who are going to stand firm and stand with their communities, and that's exactly how our campaign is built.
Governor Ducey portrays himself as the education governor, and he's been pointing to the fact that he responded to the Red for Ed movement, the one-week job action, with a will turn out to be, I guess, close to 20% raise. Is he the education governor?
Far from. He did not respond. I give our teachers credit, actually, for that. I give them credit because they came out in record numbers marching and fighting for quality public schools. Ducey responded because he's a politician that knew he was in trouble if he didn't. And folks aren't believing that it's a 20% raise. Remember, most of that is promised in the future. And one of the things we hear over and over again, particularly in education, is that the public does not trust Doug Ducey. I'm a parent with children, two daughters in public schools. I and many others still feel burned by something like 1-2-3, for example, where he said, trust me, and the come along, and the next step will be positive for public education, and it wasn't. The next step was private school vouchers. And so the amount of distrust with Ducey out there is deep, and it is strong. It's the reason why the teacher stayed on the lawn for 6 days, and it's the reason why they are not only bringing an initiative forward, which we support, but they've made it very clear we have got to change leadership as well.
Invest in Ed. The initiative will make the ballot, I'm sure. They are counting, of course, the signatures, but it looks like there's ample signatures for the ballot. Think it's going to pass?
I do. They've turned in 270,000 signatures. The same polls tell us that Ducey's approval ratings are very low, high 20%, for example, and that the biggest issue, the public wants to see an investment in public education. And invest in Ed. is an opportunity for us to not only invest in public education, but it's a chance for us to level the playing field with respect to our tax system here in Arizona. We have one of the most regressive tax structures in the country. That means our lowest income Arizonans pay some of the highest percentage of highest amount as a percentage, and Invest in Ed balances that out, and we think that's good policy. We're excited to have our educators behind us supporting our campaign, been endorsed by our Education Association. We, as a team, our team collected signatures for Invest in Ed, and we're going to continue to push that issue because it is going to be a real boost and a game changer for public education.
I do want to talk about immigration, but before we do have a caller, Dr. Garcia, to our live line 790-2040. The caller, Robert, would like to ask you a question about education. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Bill. Dr. Garcia, you remember the pink pussycat parade in Washington?
The pink pussycat parade? The women's march?
Yeah, the women's march. And then you've got red for Ed, red T-shirts at the Capitol. This is not going to fly.
Okay, Robert?
You have to leave those children. The teachers have to walk out and leave those children at home for 3 days, and you will get a parent's full attention.
All right, Robert. Go ahead, Dr. Garcia. Respond to Robert saying the parents were left holding the bag in some cases.
Well, I think that our public schools and our school districts did a phenomenal job with respect to making sure that students were accounted for. I heard very few circumstances where students were not accounted for. For example, in our school, the school was still open and parents stepped up to make sure that students were taken care of in homes. But look, we needed to get the public's attention. Educators needed to get the public's attention because it's getting clearer and clearer that to address public education, to invest in it, to build it, to make sure that it is to the level that we need for our families, we need educators at the table. And they marched because they weren't at the table. And I believe what they have done that's been extremely positive is make it clear that this is about quality public schools. And beyond teacher salaries, it's about everyone that makes public schools work. Their approach, and I think it's been a very good one, is to not stop and to continue to keep the focus on out there until we have an investment in public schools that matches what our students deserve.
Now, speaking of immigration, you say we need to rebuild the immigration system top to bottom. Would you close these private facilities like we have in Tucson and Phoenix used to detain migrant children?
Well, let me start off by saying this is an issue that is personal to me. I served in the military, and I served to defend a set of American values, and ripping children from their parents is not a value that I believe we hold as a country and as Americans. On Father's Day, I took a trip to Tornillo, Texas with my 11-year-old daughter to march against tent cities. It was one of the very first marches with a few other folks, Beto O'Rourke and Joe Kennedy, and we were there because when I heard we were setting up, the administration was setting up tent cities for children, I knew we had to go. We have an ugly history with tent cities in our state particularly, and the idea that we were going to house children in them, I just simply couldn't stand back. I took my daughter, by the way. It was an amazing transformational day for her to be part of that. And yes, as governor, well, we're going to do a few things. Number one, we're going to stop using immigration as a political issue. That is not that is stopping scare tactics and fear tactics that divide people and that hurt communities and families. In addition, we are not going to participate in policies that involve harming families and children. And in my case, this would include not funding detention centers that are splitting families, that are tearing families apart.
Would you abolish ICE, something that Governor Ducey says is wrong and reckless?
The way I see this is we need to replace ICE. ICE is doing damage to not only our families, but it's doing damage to communities. It needs to be replaced with an immigration system that matches our values. And Bill, that is three things. That is first and foremost security. Second, it involves the lawful entry of folks to the United States who are ready to contribute to our country. And by the way, that is not just folks at the border. These are companies who are looking for labor to come to the United States to help out in many ways, including technology. And third, it is having a humane system that provides refuge for those most in need who arrive at our shores or at our borders. That has been our history. I believe that is our values. ICE is not meeting those values right now, and I believe it needs to be replaced with a system that does.
I only have about a minute left. Immigration, we've talked about immigration, education. How about putting people to work in this state?
Yeah, big thing for us. Number one, keep in mind that our border issues are also economic issues, particularly in Arizona. Mexico is our biggest trading partner, and we've got to maintain a relationship with them, particularly in Arizona. And second, we believe that building Arizona is the way to go. It is about businesses starting, building, and staying in Arizona. And last, Bill, you're going to see a real shift in how we approach investment in our state. One of the things Arizona has done is we have gone and said, look, come here, we're the cheapest place. Bill, we're not cheap. We're amazing. We're a beautiful state, and we need to attract businesses and other folks to Arizona who are ready to continue to invest and then build this great state. And so we're going to have a very different approach with respect to economic development.
Where can people find out more about the David Garcia for Governor campaign?
Yeah, folks can join great teams all across the state. We've got about 5,000 people that are working on our campaign. You can get connected to that fantastic community at dg4az.com.
You think Democrats are more energized this time around than when you ran for school superintendent four years ago?
I know the Democrats are more energized, and we're seeing that everywhere we go. But in order to win, we have still got to get out to disenfranchised voters, people who right now are not engaged. This is what our campaign is built to do. Because when you add those communities that are still not in this tight Democratic circle, you add those communities to what we're already seeing with this organic Democratic surge. It is the combination of both that gets us over the top, Bill.
All right. David Garcia, running for governor as a Democrat. Thank you, sir, very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mona's Danish Bakery is a great place to go for the Danish Kringle. They are home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve and his team of bakers get up very early, so make sure you get by right now during the lunch hour for that bread that that sandwich will be presented on. It's going to be delicious. Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to buckmastershow.com. That's my website. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Also a link to all of the great partners who make our program possible. Be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares. And the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Mike Hammond. Mr. Hammond represents the Tucson area on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. Plus, Congressional District 1, Republican hopeful, Wendy Rogers. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, having a pretty good day on the market.
We're having a pretty good 4 days on the market.
Yeah, four-day run.
Yeah.
Shelley, what's driving this?
Well, what's driving this within kind of this trading range that the market's been trading in for the past 5 months, what's driving this is what should be driving markets in general, and that's the anticipation of very good quarterly results for the major corporations in the country that are reporting this week.
The market has been on kind of a, well, I think it's not a kind of, it's been on a roller coaster.
Yeah, we started the year with continuation of last year. You know, January was a great month, and we wondered whether this could continue. And then we got into correction territory, and we've kind of stayed there since February. And so the trading range has been, give or take, within the 24,000 to 25,000 range. And that's where we are right now, though we're pushing the 25,000 mark again today. Now, what that means is that the headwinds are somehow built in and priced in to the market by those people who do a lot of trading, you know, the big hedge funds, the big retirement funds and that kind of thing. So the stuff that's troubling people about things like tariffs and
trade wars,
mm-hmm. Those things are causing the market to stay in this narrow range. When you get an employment report like we got on Friday, which was really not exceptional, but it was pretty good, you know, over 200,000 jobs created. The important thing within those numbers was that we gained a number of people who came back from sitting on the sidelines, and they've been there for a long time. And as a result, we clicked up. Actually, the unemployment rate went up from 3.8 to 4%, but most people considered that to be pretty good news because it meant that we had a lot more people in the market looking for work. And that additional influx of people looking for work caused the market to not have to price up the labor of people who were changing jobs. And so once again, we had average increases in pay of only about 0.2%, which annualizes to about an annual rate of 2.6 or 2.7% of wage increase. Now, most economists will tell you when that number is under 3%, that's not good. And so we still have a situation where employers are able to keep production high with cheap labor, as opposed to investing in additional plant and capital investments.
And they're not really giving raises like you would think.
They're not. They're not being forced to give raises. So that if you're negotiating for a new job, then your negotiation power is somewhat, those wings are clipped because there are just a lot of people out there, especially in minimum wage or close to minimum wage jobs, that are competing with you for the same positions. Now, that's been going on for a long time, Bill. If we take a look at what's been going on, for instance, we like to talk year to date, but let's talk 12 months because it gives you a longer picture. The S&P 500, which is the broad indicator of market performance, is up about 14.4, let's call it 14.8, 14.9 with today's gains percent for the past year. For the last 3 years, it's averaged about 13.4%. In the last 5 years, about 10.2%. So we're right in that range.
Well, those are good numbers.
Those are very good numbers, but they are not unusual. Mm-hmm. So that if we measure since the war, the mm-hmm. end of the war, which is what economists like to look at, the S&P has been up on average between 11 and 12%. Now, you know, when we say on average, we mean mm-hmm. that you draw a line kind of through the spikes and the valleys, and you get a number. It's kind of like having your head in the oven and your feet on a block of ice. On average, you're just fine. So what we have seen over the past 10 years is a good recovery, and that recovery has been fairly steady with some very good years. And one of the very good years was last year, where we had about a 30% year, and 2012, where we had about a 32% year. So we see these spikes. We take a look at performance and say, can that performance continue, and how long is this recovery going to continue? And my crystal ball has gone cloudy, and everybody's crystal ball should be cloudy because we really don't know. When you take a look at the people who look at charts, you know, the people look at technical analysis, they will bore you to death with charts that say, well, we're reaching this critical line that in the past 7 of 10 years has indicated there's at least a 49.9% chance, historically speaking, that we could go into a recession, but no commitment.
Right.
So you get that kind of wisdom, and it's always amusing to listen to.
They'll tell you we're in the window of change.
There you go. So when you take a look at the economic indicators that would indicate trouble, there are some of those there. Some of them are self-inflicted. When you take a look at the performance of the economy over the past decade, coming out of the Great Recession, there's a consistency and a steadiness that's quite remarkable, Bill. We don't know if the economic cycles that we've seen in the markets, you know, every 5 or 6 years a recession, certainly on average no more than every 10 or 12 years, we don't know if that's going to keep up. We don't know what the new normal is because of world trade and the interdependence of economies on each other. We don't know the effect of the experiment that this country and some others are making with more nationalistic approaches to government control of the means of production. You know, we see changes that are fundamental to the way the world does business. And, we like to think there's a history, but our recorded history is minuscule compared to the history of the species on the planet.
So, to say the least.
You know, when you take a look at it, we're inventing it every day.
Yes, we are.
There has never been a species like ours on the planet before, and we've never gone through the cycles of the medieval cycle and the Industrial Revolution, post-industrial, the information age. These things we're doing for the first time. And when you put that in that perspective, you can understand why we would want to experiment a little bit, see if this is the best way to go, that's the best way to go. We think we know some ways that don't work, fascism, communism, et cetera. But, you know, what what is essential about, for instance, government control of the economy, like we see in China, is that fundamentally better or worse than free markets? You know, we think it's probably not as good as free markets, but you'd be hard-pressed to say we have the proof. And that's what's working its way through these economies. And, you know, China's kind of the bad guy here, but take a look at Norway, where you have very similar kinds of controls of important means of production. And certainly Norway is a bastion of freedom. So it's fun to watch. I wish I had another 50 or 100 years to be a watcher. What I can see right now is that what I'm telling my clients is that there's nothing on the immediate horizon that is a threat to this economic performance. However, it would be a violation of historical precedent to think it could go on forever.
All right. On that note, Shelley Fishman, have a great week, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. I want to do a couple of quick shout-outs to our friends Green Things over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. And also Green Things is now the new home to Zocalo. Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America is now over on Green Things, where they have 13 acres. It's a beautiful place. It's a destination now in itself. Go to the website, greenthingsaz.com. You can learn more there. Also, a big shout out to our friends from Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners here on this program over there to Silver City, and they always come back and say the same thing. That's a great place to visit. Great place of the southwestern United States, and it's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and the several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Tiffany Shedd. Tiffany is one of three candidates in the Republican primary in Congressional District 1, which is a huge, sprawling district that may be, Tiffany, one of the largest congressional districts in the United States.
It is. It's the largest congressional district that's not an entire state.
Wow. Like Wyoming.
You're like Wyoming.
Tiffany, it's a pleasure to meet you. And we're going to learn a little bit about your campaign, a little bit about you. Why don't we begin with the obvious question, why are you running for Congress?
Well, I never thought I would run for Congress, and I've spent a lifetime in CD1. I'm an agribusiness, water, natural resource attorney. I farm, a fourth-generation farm with my husband. I've taught school there, raised my family there, and it's a CD1 is a great place to live, and I could see that we were being forgotten in a lot of ways and that our resources weren't being managed well anymore, everything from our forests. We're having, you know, water situations that's going to be coming up for the drought, et cetera. And I wanted to make sure that the place that I raised my kids and that hopefully we'll have grandkids someday is as great as the place that I grew up in. And so I really want to preserve the best of rural Arizona while making sure that we have progress and employment and jobs and infrastructure and smart stewardship of all of our amazing natural resources in this district.
You know, Tiffany, CD1 is a microcosm of the United States in many ways, isn't it? You've got the big cities, you've got a good portion of Tucson, you've got Phoenix, you've got Flagstaff, and you have the rural areas, you have mountainous areas, you have desert areas. It's amazing the diversity of this district.
It is. I actually don't have Phoenix, but
you don't?
No,
okay.
But I do have Oro Valley, and I have Flagstaff would be my two most populated areas. But you're right. This is a district that holds a lot of power in Washington, D.C., because you can speak on knowledgeably and represent almost every industry in the United States except for oceans.
Wow. What is it about in your agribusiness career that you saw was going on that you felt, hey, I can make a difference going back to Washington?
I think that after spending a lifetime working in natural resources and land issues, is what I see is we don't have a lot of representatives in Washington that actually understand how we are so different in the West. Our forest management is different. Our water problems are different. Our energy problems are different. We're much more diverse. We're culturally different. We're socially different in a lot of ways. This is a very independent place that people tend to get along a bit better than they do in the East Coast. And so, you know, one of the things is not just representing and advocating, but it's also educating other lawmakers, other policymakers, getting them out to the district so they can see the scope of things. When we talk about big, we're talking big in rural Arizona. Yeah. When we're talking arid, it's hard to believe how big our dam systems are. Everything is, I feel like I'm starting to sound like a Texan, but everything is bigger in CD1, everything from our canyons to our water systems in Lake Powell, et cetera. And so I think that, you know, the first place to get things done is to actually educate people and realize policies that work other place are crippling rural Arizona.
How about immigration? Well, it seems to be a huge issue in your race.
Well, immigration is something I've been living with for a very long time before it was a hot topic, frankly. Today we're going down to the border to visit my good friend Susan Krentz and another rancher down there as well. And Susan Krentz, if you remember, they ranch on the border in Douglas.
Right.
And her husband was murdered by illegal aliens while working the ranch, and she's endorsed me. But, you know, in Arizona agriculture, we had to deal with that issue with diverse needs for immigration within our ag community. And I think that we're not solving immigration because Washington, D.C. doesn't want to. We need a secure border. We need to know every country has to have a secure border, know who's coming in and who's coming out. And then once you get that direction, then you can have immigration policy that's not just academic, that can be enforced. And you stop the human rights violations, the danger on the border. We need a guest worker program that is pro-American business, so we're not losing businesses because they don't have enough labor. And so I think that the issue has been great fodder for both sides of the party, especially on the East Coast. But it's time for Arizona legislators and Arizonans to step up and lead the way and say, look, we're the ones living with it, where we have friends that are being hurt. I have illegals coming across my farm that are not good, and some that are just families looking for work. But our inability or lack of will to secure the border has caused one of the largest human rights violations we've ever seen in this country. It's tearing down both of our countries. It's inhibiting trade. And if we don't get this solved, in 50 years, we can have Somalia on our southern border, or we can have a country that's moved up into the first world status and made North America one of the strongest forces in the world, teaming up together with the amount of natural resources, production abilities. And so you can't tell me in this day and age with technology, et cetera, that we can't secure the border and start promoting legal trade and not illegal drug running, human trafficking across that border.
We're speaking with Tiffany Shedd, Republican running in CD2 from Pinal County. A caller asked Tiffany if you could just quickly follow up on the water issue. Do we have enough water in Arizona?
Right now we do. Because of our good management, we're in a heavy drought. We're literally looking at it a year-to-year basis. One of the largest water issues I see, especially for Pima County and Pinal County and Maricopa County, is the Central Arizona Project. We have a 1.2 million acre foot structural deficit on Lake Mead, where somebody forgot to account for evaporation every year. And it's going to be very hard for us to make that up, even when we get out of a drought, because it's a structural deficit. And I think that Arizona has been amazing at looking at policy for water 60 years ahead, and lately it feels like we're looking 6 months ahead, and we are going to have to pursue some solutions, like perhaps a desalination plant in the Sierra Cortez, where we trade them, Mexico, the plant, and we keep Mexico's allocation of Colorado River water. That would actually cure the structural deficit and give us a couple hundred acre feet to use, and we're going to have to continue to work on technology. Arizona is the leader in water conservation in the United States, and I just want to make sure that we're going that direction so that we can have urban areas, we can have agriculture, we can have mining, that we all get to continue to build here. And I think we can do it, but we just have to have vision and the will to solve hard problems.
The Navajo generating plant, that's a big issue too.
That is a huge issue. And
very complicated one in many ways.
It is, yeah. It is.
And I've only got about a minute and a half, other than say that those are important jobs in Navajo land.
They are very important jobs, and I think that we need to do whatever we can to keep Peabody Mine open, which would be putting in a spur line to there is a need for their coal on the eastern part of the country that would preserve those jobs. We're going to have to decide as a state whether we're willing to subsidize the lower water users, or what ready to subsidize about $40 million a year to keep 800 jobs. And so I think that maybe we're looking at it in black and white, but maybe the solution isn't to be political and promise things you can't deliver, but to actually provide solutions such as another market for that coal. It's just we've hit a energy revolution with fracking, and it's just caused the price to go drastically down for energy. So if Arizonans are willing to subsidize, you know, over $40 million a year to keep it open, I guess Arizonans are going to have to decide that.
All right, Tiffany Shedd, I'm going to have to wrap it up. What separates you from your two opponents?
Deep knowledge and roots in the district. I think that, you know, Republican national issues, you know, everyone's a good conservative and a good Republican. I think what I bring to the table is a deep level of what's going on in the district, everything from our resources to our small towns. I've spent a lifetime in this district, not just living, but building. And this is a district that has a lot of local national issues. And if we neglect those, our entire state will be in peril because we are the district that feeds Phoenix, Tucson, etc. Mm-hmm. So ignore CD1
pivotal,
at your peril.
Pivotal district.
Pivotal and very important district.
Tiffany Shedd, and that's Shedd.
Yes.
Where can they find more information out about you, Tiffany?
Sheddforcongress.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And that would be a great place to start.
It's nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. ¶¶
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, where the July Film Festival continues with two more must-see Godzilla flicks, 1962's King Kong versus Godzilla, showing on July the 15th, and then on the 22nd, see Mothra. So that's going to be a lot of fun. The Fox also has three terrific live concerts scheduled for next week. On July 17th, Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters bring their eclectic mix of Americana roots rock to Tucson. Next evening, on July the 18th, the arrival from Sweden, The Music of ABBA presents everyone's favorite ABBA hits. And then on Saturday, July 21st, Chris Isaak returns with his first Comes the Night tour. There are a lot of hot shows at the Cool Fox this summer. To view the full schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan. Margaret has been writing about the arts in Tucson for a long time. She started really with the Tucson Weekly, writing about the arts back in 1990. She started writing about the border and immigration in the year 2000. She has two prize-winning books on immigration. The latest is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and that book has been highly acclaimed with a starred review in Publishers Weekly. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How about you?
Doing very well, and you'll probably be getting some rain at your house very soon.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any all week. I'm so disappointed.
I know.
You got it at your place,
yeah,
right?
We got a little bit here and a little bit there, but maybe today will be the day where it finally rolls in for you.
Well, fingers crossed.
The new director at the Center for Creative Photography, and of course, over the years, in my 30 years here in town, there have been numerous directors. The latest is Ann Breckenridge Barrett. What do we know about Ann?
Well, I met with Ann a couple weeks ago, and I wrote up our interview, which is in the current issue of the Tucson Weekly. Very interesting person. She has a lot of degrees, including a law degree, and a master's in arts management, and a bachelor's in art history. So she's not necessarily, you know, a hardcore photography person, but she's had a lot of experience in different museums, and she says that photography is her first love. She comes to Tucson from Chicago, where she was a high-level person at the Museum of Contemporary Art, helping to organize exhibitions. But she's not a curator. So, and one of the good things I thought that Anne said was that her job is not to curate. They have a wonderful curator already at the museum. And it's really her job to come up with the shows, which I imagine the curators and staff are pretty happy about that. She said, Anne says she's the person who knows about administration. She knows about art, but she's sort of the administrator of the whole thing, the director, and she wants to support the staff as best she can. So hoping this hire will be the charm. As you mentioned, they've had a lot of troubles over the years. You know, people getting fired. The last curator, really great young guy named Joshua Chuang, he was forced out. And then shortly after that, the person who engineered him being forced out retired, and so they've been without a director for 2 years. So Anne comes in very enthusiastic, and one thing she's done, I think, really great, her first initiative, she developed a new heritage gallery, and of course she got the curators to actually put the show together. The idea is there's always been an argument at the center. Should they just always talk about Ansel Adams and Edward Weston, the greats of the 20th century, or should they continue looking at the art of photographers today? So she conceived this gallery as a place that would show the art of both and kind of pairing them, you know, showing Ansel Adams, the great landscape photographer of the 20th century, with Mark Klett, who's a very innovative photographer now, doing pictures of the damaged landscapes of the West. So you're going to have these conversations back and forth. And I think Anne was smart to come up with a solution that addressed that. That was her very first initiative. So it sounds good.
Well, certainly that sounds like a solution to this, the age-old argument. Do you show the archives, the highlights of the archives, or do you primarily concern yourself with new work? But this is a compromise. It sounds like it will. I'm anxious to take a look at it. And, you know, they really haven't had the stability there, as you say, in a couple of years. They really haven't had a long-term director in many years.
I know. Yeah. And it's a shame because the place is a treasure. And as Anne said, when this job became available, she was just thrilled because she said, it's a very distinguished museum and its collection is extraordinary. And she's really hoping, and I think this is another good thing, she's trying to bring the community in. They're already doing family days, things that might bring in an audience that has not been there. And I love this. At the end, she told me, where's this quote? She says, it's about making the CCP as great as it can be and showing the region how lucky it is to have this here. And we are very lucky. So let's hope that this will put the museum on a good new track.
The Arizona Biennial is now underway over at the Tucson Museum of Art. Have you had a chance to take a look at it?
I have. I was at opening night. There must have been 600 people there. It was a wonderful gala affair. There's so much great art in this show. I have to say, it seems to me to be one of the best of the biennials that I've seen over these many years. You know, it's a good show. Every 2 years, they do sort of a survey of the art of Arizona. And it used to be the kind of show where they tried to cover everything, including more traditional art, cowboy and Western art and crafts, and just try to do everything. So it was kind of a hodgepodge. And some years ago, they decided, no, they would get an outside curator, not an Arizona person, to come in and do a show of contemporary art, sort of telling us what are innovative, many of them young and not so young, artists in Arizona doing today. So it's more focused in that respect. But I just thought the quality of the work was so great. There are a lot of just stunningly beautiful images. Kate Brakey, I think probably you know of her. She's a really successful photographer who lives in Tucson, and she does amazing photos of the skies. And she did this double portrait of the solar eclipse coupled with the blood moon in January. And she made these stunning photos, and they're dusted with gold. So there are some really beautiful things, but there are also a lot of things that are very political, very sharp, very challenging. I really like to work. There's an African-American painter in Tucson named Willie Bonner, who's really a good painter. He does kind of expressionist work. And he did a thing in this that he used tar and feathers on cotton canvas for an abstraction that evokes slavery. Mm. And he did it step by step with his thumb. He pushed that tar onto the cotton, so it evokes the labor in the cotton fields of old. And then there are kind of scars across it, and you realize that, in a sense, this thing that sort of is reminiscent of the cotton field is partially about the black body. So I thought that was really kind of a brilliant use of historically relevant materials. There's just all kinds of things there to see.
This will be a cover story on the Tucson Weekly upcoming.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it will be the cover story on Thursday.
Wow.
So you can check it out. But, there are 85 works in the show by 70 artists. So I couldn't talk about nearly all of them, but I highly recommend that people get down there to see it. It's just a great show.
All right, Margaret, we're going to have to wrap it up with you, and let's hope you get some rain over at your Midtown location.
Yes, and I hope you have your umbrella with you, Bill.
Oh, and of course I did not bring it. Oh, boy. All right.
Well, good luck.
Margaret, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Good talking with you. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. And, of course, the July Film Festival continues with two more must-see Godzilla films, 1962's King Kong versus Godzilla, showing on July the 15th. That's coming up. And then July 22nd, see Mothra. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Then the Fox has three terrific live concerts for you scheduled for next week. Let's quickly go over them. July 17th, Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters, bringing the eclectic mix of Americana roots and rock to the Tucson Fox. Next evening, Arrival from Sweden, the music of ABBA. All those great ABBA hits. Saturday, July 21st, Chris Isaak brings his First Comes the Night tour. So a lot of hot shows at the Cool Fox this summer. Visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. Mike, hopefully we'll have some rain to talk about on the show this afternoon with Ray Allen. Two of them put together a great 2 hours from 4 to 6. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. On behalf of Ray Allen, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.